Like JP mentioned, our A-team, Andre, Sonica, and a few other people from the church are away this weekend at the Shofar Conference in Stellenbosch. But we praise God that he's also here in East London this morning in this church. And they might have Jeremy Riddle and Joe Niemann, but we had the listener on the band, so please give them a hand as well. Okay, so my name is Jimmy. It'll be my honor today to bring you the message. Please don't switch off because Andre isn't here. We trust that God can use this Afrikaans guy too. Okay, some of you might know, maybe you might not know, I'm a forensic auditor as a profession. I work for a bank. I do all their forensic investigations into fraud and corruption, that kind of thing. Part of my job is also to present fraud training to the branches to make them aware of fraud and what to look out for and what not to look out for. And don't worry, I'm not here today to give you fraud training. I just felt the Lord wants to use it today. The definition of fraud is legally. Fraud is defined as the unlawful and intentional misrepresentation for personal gain and can lead to actual or potential loss to another individual or group. A more plain definition is basically the act of leading a person to believe something which you know to be false in a situation where you know the person will rely on that thing to their disadvantage. So fraud basically is someone making a misrepresentation to another party, and someone suffers a loss and someone makes a gain. So another example would be, I come here this morning, all of you are new people, you don't know Shofar East London, you don't know Andre, and I tell you, my name is Andre Kruger, I'm the main pastor of this church, and this morning's offering will come to me as the pastor. You believe me, wrongfully, give me your offering, and I make the gain, you make the loss, and ultimately the church makes the loss. That's basically fraud. So why am I talking about fraud? Because I would like to make you alert of the biggest fraudster of all time, Satan. Genesis 3 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He made Eve believe there is nothing wrong with it to eat from the tree in the middle." So Satan comes all the time to defraud us as children of God. Why? Because it's a battle. It's a battle between Satan and God. All of us would know that. The word says our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the evil powers of the spiritual realm. So we have to be alert for that. I want to sum a bit of more information. The first example of fraud in the Bible actually occurred in Genesis 27. So it's not just in South Africa where fraud happens. It happens in the Bible. Where Isaac got old and he wanted to give his blessing to his son Esau. I hope that's right. And then Rebecca saw that, the mom, and she told the other son, Jacob, "Listen, you go and pretend," because the father lost his sight from being so old. So she got Jacob to pretend to be Esau, and then ultimately he got the blessing from his father, who was blind, while his brother was out hunting as his dad instructed him to do. So that was hectic, to defraud his own father right there in the Bible. You see, that's exactly what happens in our daily lives, that the enemy comes and he wants us to believe lies so that we can turn away from God and turn away from our friends and families and win the battle for him. I mean, the devil is out there, people. He's real. We've experienced it again after the last time I shared in July. My wife is an OT. She shared about God's provision in a practice which she started. True story, the next 2 weeks after that Sunday was the most quiet she's been the whole year. Ironically, I don't think so. The enemy will always come for us day in, day out, to steal our joy, to steal the life that we received through the cross. I mean, Dion and Kuba shared last in the Thanksgiving service about not being sick this whole year. Praise the Lord. What happened? Stephen got sick, Stefan got sick, and Dion got sick. So these things are happening, but praise God, he is real, he is alive, and he has overcome Satan by the cross. So he can come with his attacks all the time. We will overcome that through Jesus Christ. I want to make you aware of Satan's, let's call it personality. And there's warnings in the Bible to actually alert us to that. If we look at John 8 from verse 44. Now here's Jesus talking to the people, and the Pharisees, like always, are giving him hassles and attacking him and you know, just throwing out comments the whole time. I tell you, if you go through the Gospels, yo, the Pharisees are irritating, hey? You. Even if you watch Passion of the Christ, I just got so upset with those guys the whole time. So it says here, now Jesus speaking to the Pharisees who keep on disbelieving and keep on arguing with him that he's not the son of God because he was the son of Joseph. And Jesus tells him, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. Say, there is no truth in him. That is Satan. There is no truth in Satan, ever. Continues. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. This is Jesus telling us here what Satan is, what it's all about. He's the father of lies. His native language is lying. So he will always lie to everyone around him because he can never tell the truth. He's a liar, he's a murderer, and he's the enemy. And yet Jesus tells us about his identity, Satan's identity, and what we must look out for. And he even tells the Pharisees that your father is the devil because you listen to him and you don't listen to me. You know, and part of fraud, basically fraud is lying. So you're just making it, you call it a nice name by saying it's fraud. Actually, it's just lying. I'm lying to you if I say I'm Andre because I'm Jimmy. So this is why I say, in my opinion, Satan is the biggest fraudster out there. And he's coming at us day in, day out. Because he wants to steal our joy, he wants to take us away from the Lord, he wants to take the truth from us and get us all isolated on our own. If you look at the first part of John 10, verse 10, again, Jesus says here, I would suggest we listen to Jesus. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's his main reason. That is why Satan exists. He comes to steal, destroy, and kill. He wants to kill our relationship with God. He wants to kill our spirits. He wants to keep on telling us lies and lies and lies so that we can just stay away from God and later on we believe him because we're drifting away from God by that. I experienced it myself as at Varsity. Some of you might have heard the story where I started believing the lies of Satan that says that it's okay to party on a Saturday night and get drunk as long as you go to church the next day. Then you're A4 away. I started believing it. You know, in my heart, I knew, yo, I don't know about this, but in that time also, because of what I've been doing, I drifted away from God slowly but surely, where I came to a point where I actually would go out partying on a Saturday night, get drunk, and then go to church Sunday night, because the morning I'm not so lucky yet. And I believe that lie. See, the bugger Satan defrauded me, subtly. I mean, no one told me then, you know, what you're doing is wrong, and it's just part of the going in varsity and acceptable, and so I fell for his lies, and that's why this morning I want to trust God to help us all to stop believing the lies of Satan. Because part of my job at the bank is to go to the branches, like I said, and then show them the ID documents, a fraudulent ID document, a fraudulent bank statement, pay slip, etc., etc., so that when a fraudster enters the branch with that fake ID, they look at the ID book and they immediately identify, wait, this is fraudulent, I know this. They stop it right there, and the fraudster cannot get away with the lies. So this morning, I want us to be so alert of what the enemy is out there. His mission is all the time to get us to believe him, and we're going to come to Jesus now, the truth, so that we can immediately then identify the lies from Satan and say, hey, okay, I know this guy. He's that fraudster, the killer, the murderer. Go to hell, you know? So we must be able to identify that and all his schemes because he's out there and he's coming for us. So like I shared a couple of weeks ago, about being captives and prisoners. Now, as I said, captives, when we become captive, is when we become captives, when we allow Satan to lie to us or defraud us, and we believe his lies as the truth. So then we get captive by that. We believe that. We make it our own, and it's not the truth. And that actually causes us to be captive in that. You know, even my wife sometimes, until lately, she struggled with a lot of stress and fear and stuff like that. So all of a sudden she'll just be upset or worried, and I'll say, what's wrong? She says, no, you know, she just remembered now, 2 years ago at the hospital she worked, the guy's hands were a bit sweaty when she treated him and he's HIV or whatever. Maybe she's got AIDS. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You know? You don't even get AIDS like that. So that was just the enemy working with her mind the whole time, creating that fear and doubt in her own life that maybe she's sick, you know, or maybe there's something wrong with her. And that caused her to worry and fear. And that's a whole new topic on its own that Satan wants to get us fearful, because that'll drift us away as well from God. So it was a process and a lot of prayer for her that now at the moment, you know, praise God, that she can identify the enemy straight away. She will sometimes even tell me, you know, the devil, I know this thought that I just had was from the devil, and I rebuked it. I didn't take it to my own love. And that's the way we should be. We should be so alert of what Satan is out there to do. And trust me, today is not about Satan. We're going to get to the good part now. But we need to be alert for that. You know, there's a lot of lies that we believe, sometimes because we want to believe it out of the flesh in our own lives, such as, you know, you're not good enough. How many of us sitting here today has felt that way, that we're not good enough for that boyfriend or girlfriend or that job opportunity? We're not good enough to serve in the church. So you'll just come every Sunday and sit and listen because you're not holy enough or good enough to serve. That's a lie. That is Satan at his best, you know? Or we'll tell you, no, Jesus won't forgive that sin. He'll forgive all the other sins, but that mistake you made there back in high school or varsity, he will never forgive. That's a lie. You know, I can go through a few examples of this, like even for business people, it's okay to claim a personal trip as business. It's okay. Everyone does it. You know, SARS steal our money anyway. So it's okay. It's okay to have sex before marriage. Everyone does it. Why not? It's okay to move in together before we're married. That's all lies that the enemy over the years has made like acceptable in our society. And we start believing those things as the truth. And it's not. You know, stuff like you won't be healed, depression can't be healed, you know, you'll never be happy. All those things are so many lies that he can tell us day in and day out. And that's why we must be on our guard the whole time for Satan and his agenda, to know to take those lies captive. I mean, I don't know about you, but as a small child, when I wanted to go play with my mate or go have a sleepover, I go to my mom and say, Mom, can I please go and stay with, let's call it Yanni. And she says, what does your dad say? I said, no, Mom, he says it's okay if you say it's okay. And I go to my dad and say, Dad, can I please go to Yanni? He says, what does your mom say? No, Mom, she says it's fine if you say it's fine. And then I go. Like easy to defraud them, to a little white lie. And that's what we do, you know. It's almost in our nature sometimes to play a few tricks. Now, how do we get to know someone? How do we get to know the voice of truth? You know, if you, before the days of cell phones and Facebook, or all these new fancy smartphones where the phone rings and there's a picture, a Facebook picture, and all of that coming up on the screen, the old telephone we had to, you know, slinger ones that you, if someone phoned you, and you pick up the phone, and it's your mom or dad, or husband or wife, immediately when they start speaking, you know, hey, it's my mom, how are you? Because you know your mom's voice. That's just natural, you know, because of all the years you spent with her, we know our mom's voice. And that's where we need to get to in our spiritual walk with Jesus, to know his voice. To know without any doubt when Jesus is speaking to us. And the opposite too, to identify, wait, this can't be Jesus, I don't know this voice. You know, that's very important to do that. In John 8:31, verse 32, it's again still Jesus. He says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. If we know the truth, it will set us free. There's a condition to it. We must know it. Not be familiar with it or heard of it. We must know it. We must know Jesus and know the truth personally. You know, and by getting to know someone, if you meet someone here for today for the first time and you're building a friendship, perhaps, the only way you get to know someone is by spending that time, you know, to make that time to get together, to meet, to have coffee, to chat, to get to know his voice or a voice and the way he speaks or whatever it might be. You know, and with Jesus, it's the same. You need to make time to spend time with God in the Bible, in the Word, because the Bible, This is the word of God. This is what describes Jesus. This is what we use to get our answers when we're praying for things. So we need to spend time in the word. We need to pray a lot, you know, and also allow him to speak to us when we have our quiet time. It's very easy for us to sit and pray and pray and ask for stuff for the whole time. Instead of just holding back a second, let it be silent. Give God an opportunity to talk to our hearts, to minister to us as we sit in silence. In John 10, I actually want to read the whole chapter quickly. Beautiful scripture. The shepherd and his flock. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. I'll read till the end for now. This is quite powerful, you know. Jesus is the shepherd of us, the sheep. And here he says that, you know, we will follow him because we know his voice. And it's true, I'm not a farmer, but I can imagine if the same shepherd is spending time with the sheep, they'll get to know his voice and the way he whistles or whatever, and they'll follow him. That's exactly what Jesus wants from us, to know his voice so well that we just always follow him. If he says, go that way, we will go that way because it's Jesus speaking to our hearts and we know his voice. We don't have to doubt or fear anything. But he also says they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Now, we need to get to a place where we always recognize the voice of Jesus, our shepherd. And we can chase away the stranger, the enemy, Satan, who will come back with all his lies the whole time. Because he's a good shepherd, you know. He just sang a song, you know, the cross is enough. Jesus died on that cross so that we can defeat, so the enemy can be defeated and we can walk in victory on earth as a child of God. You know, this weekend we went down to the Western Cape for a wedding the past weekend. And we just drove through the beautiful part of the world on the R62. All the mountains and the valleys. And the Lord really spoke to me when I saw the one green valley. I was just reminded of Psalm 23, and it was on my heart this week as well. I'm going to read it again to us. It's a well-known psalm, but listen carefully to what David is saying about Jesus, our shepherd, and what he wants for our lives. And when the enemy comes again in the next few weeks and in the years to come, hold on to this. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beautiful. Beautiful scripture about what God's heart is for us, the good shepherd, what he wants to do for us as his sheep and as his children. And, you know, I'm not going to go through the psalm verse by verse, but maybe again at home tonight you can go through it again and take each and every verse and take all the truth in there out for our lives, you know, and claim that life, you know. Sometimes when bad things happen, you know, we're easy to blame God. God, why did you make my family sick? You know, why did that person die? Why did I lose my job, God? We always blame God first. Why? Do you think God wants to hurt us? Do you think God wants to see us cry? I mean, how many parents are here this morning with children? Quite a few. Now, I'm not a parent, but I can imagine you will do nothing to hurt your child. Would you? Never. You will go the extra mile to make sure the safety of your child at all cost. You know, we've got two dogs, and yes, we do a lot for the dogs even, so I can only imagine what you would do for your children. And God is our Father. He's our Father. He's your Father. And He will never do something to hurt you. So when the enemy comes with these lies in your head, the thought of, you know, it's God, always ask yourself, can this be? You know, the Word of God where I get my truth from is God is a Father of love, the Good Shepherd who will lead His sheep through great valleys and give us peace, and, you know, we will fear no evil. So I want to ask you today to, in the future, to, once those lies and thoughts come up in your mind, to immediately ask yourself, does it make sense that this can be from God, our Father, my Father? And if it doesn't, know for sure it's from the devil. It can only be him then, who tries to defraud you and steal your joy and steal your peace, because that is what he does best. Let's continue with John 10. And this morning, it's awesome to hear the impression that Dion had about Jesus wanting to give us life. You know, from the beginning when he created earth, his whole mission was to give us life, life to the fullest. And it's in me. I mean, this is prepared in a week. I didn't put it in after Dion told us that. So it's really God's heart for us this morning to realize what he wants for us as his children. It says in John 10, the second part of verse 10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And this is quite a pretty picture that was painted here, that, you know, I have come. And this week I realized that Jesus did come, but that verse actually means, I have died. I was crucified on a cross. I bled myself to death. I was beaten. I was spat upon. So that you can have life and have it to the full. Wow, this is what he did. This is his heart for us from the beginning, to give us life. And yet this fraudster will come in and try and take that life from us, try and take that joy from us with all his lies and deceit all the time. But praise God, he has been beaten and will not fall for his lies again. So it's all about truth versus, obviously you can get it by now, it's truth versus lies and truth versus fraud. And what is the truth? And we can ask, what is the truth? And we read in John 14, verse 6. Again, Jesus talking to the disciples and the Pharisees, and he says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So who's the truth? Jesus is the truth. Let's say it. I am the way. Not all at once. I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If we hold on to him, we can never be defrauded, because we know the truth personally. It's in our hearts. He's with us all the time. So what do we do to be set free from those lies and all those fraudulent acts from Satan? It's actually very simple. Because we've read in John 8, verse 31 and 32, that it says, you know, if you know the truth, it will set you free. Okay? So Sonica also touched on this that last sermon that she preached, and it says, first of all, we need to identify the lie from Satan. So as that thought or as that feeling of fear, whatever it might be, coming to your heart and in your mind, you need to identify straight away that this is not from God. It cannot be from my Father. My Father loves me. My Father died for me, so I can have a life and I have it to the full. So this thought and this fear or this worry in my mind cannot be from God. Identify, be alert. Say, hey, like I said earlier, this is a fraudster. This is not the real deal. Secondly, you know, you need to take that lie captive. You know, don't let it come and dwell. Don't dwell on it. Don't make it your own. Don't claim it for your own life, because it will become the truth in your own heart then. If you dwell on the same thing, I mean, like I said, it caught me out of varsity with the same thing, where I just started believing it's fine. Nothing wrong with it, just do it. And it's nonsense, man. So, thirdly, we need to replace that lie that we identified with truth from God's Word. And that's why it's critically important that we spend time in God's Word to get to know God's heart, to get to know Jesus what he wanted from us from the beginning, what he still wants for us every day now, so that we can know his heart and we can replace that lie and say, Satan, no, wait a minute. This is a lie. Murderer, this is a lie. I know the truth. Jesus says, I know the plans I have for you. Jeremiah 29:11. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, give you hope in a future. If you have to hold on to those things and make sure that we confess it when we identify these lies and replace the lie with those promises, you know? God said in the word, Jesus said, I'm with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you, Hebrews 13:5. Now that's God's heart for us. But we can't know that if we don't spend time with God in prayer and our quiet times to make sure we cement it in our hearts so that we can identify the lie from Satan, take it captive, and say, listen here, buddy. Take a walk. This is the truth. You are talking absolute trash. And we need to declare that daily, the truth from God, the promises that God has for all of us in his word. It's a daily battle. It's a daily battle, really. It's not like today we confess this and tomorrow Satan just accepts it. Okay, now Jimmy doesn't drink anymore, whatever the case may be. He will come at us the whole time. The whole time. It's like a lion. Jesus warned us, the enemy is like a roaring lion waiting outside to devour us and to kill us. But we must be ready. We must be alert to him, the fraudster, and know what he looks like. If we identify a fraudster in the Eastern Cape, in the banking industry, immediately I'll send a photo to all the banks branches where I work. So they can know this person is a fraudster. Put it up on the notice board at the back to be alert. If that person comes in for a loan, fraudulent loan, they can say, hey, no, this is the photo that was sent out by forensics. No loan to this guy. And that's exactly what we need to do with the enemy. Know that he's a liar, he's a murderer, and he only wants to kill and destroy. But Jesus wants to give us life and give it to us to the full. That's why he died for us. That's why he laid down his life for us, so we can have that life in abundance in Jesus. That's why we daily need to declare that truth about Jesus and what he wants from us in the Word of God. This is the last scripture. You know, and this is powerful, this part in Luke, because this is what it's all about. This battle I mentioned before that happens daily has actually been won. And we can walk in that authority and that victory. Jesus says, he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. They say, nothing will harm you. Nothing will harm us. Jesus paid the price. The cross is enough. Awesome scripture, Luke 10:18-19. You know, so we can take authority over Satan and his lies and deceits every time it happens. Thanks to Jesus who died for us on the cross and gave us this authority for free. You know, I don't have to do anything anymore. We don't have to be all religious and have 2 hours quiet time every day. And, you know, have a relationship with God. Get to know his heart. Get to know his personality and claim that. And when the enemy comes, you can identify him and say, hey, cheers, I know Jesus. I know the truth. And he set me free from all these lies and deceits you've got. So we must be strong in God. We must be strong in our faith in Jesus and hold on to his promises every single day of our lives. Otherwise, the enemy will come and he will bluff us and we will fall for his lies and it will cost us. It will cost us, you know. It cost me a year and a half in varsity of a rubbish lifestyle because I fell for his lies for too long. But praise God, he sets us free. The truth will set us free and we can have life in abundance. And here I am today sharing a message with the church. Praise God for his grace and his love.